Well, let's turn together to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 1. Romans, chapter 5, and verse 1. I'll read the first verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, our subject is justification. Justification. Now, this subject or this doctrine was perhaps one of the most well-taught doctrines in the church of 50 or 80 or 100 years ago. And it was the most well-known and the most understood doctrine of all doctrines. Yet, sadly today, if you ask young people what is justification, they don't really have a grasp or an understanding. Many don't know the preciousness of it. So today, when we come to this doctrine of justification, I pray that we will gain understanding and see how rich it is and how comforting it is to know these truths. So this doctrine of justification is the heart of the gospel. It is the central heart of the gospel. And we've been looking at, over the weeks, a series of teachings on the London Baptist Confession of Faith. And this is what we believe. This is the confession of faith that we believe. But we're making an effort to teach this in its proper perspective. And the proper perspective is this: it's not above Scripture, it's beneath Scripture. Scripture is greater in rank, Scripture is inspired. Yet, the confession is a great teaching aid. It helps us to grasp and have a deeper understanding of Scriptures. And it also shows us how the Scriptures are systematically linked and connected to one another. So it is a valuable teaching tool. And the whole confession is based upon Scripture. And we're going to, instead of reading portions of the confession, we will simply look at what they call the proof texts. We will look at what Scripture itself has to say about the subject. And as I've mentioned, our theme today is justification. Now, as an introduction to this theme or this subject, let's look at a critical question that is asked in the book of Job. Job is a very old book, although it doesn't appear after Genesis. It's in the time of the patriarchs. It's a book that is a bit ancient and goes way back. Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, we know that they all came to talk to Job. And they were convinced that Job was suffering because he was a sinner. And Job must have done something wrong. He must have sinned. That's why suffering is coming upon him. And they say, Job, you must have hidden sin in your life. That's why you are suffering so much. And Bildad is questioning Job and speaking to him about the justice of God. And now we read Job's response. And from this response, we will get our question. Job chapter 9 and verse 2. He says, truly, I know it to be so. So Job is saying, I know it to be so. But he says, but how can a man be righteous before God? Can a man be just before God? And this is the question that we should all have. It's a critical question. How can I be justified? This is the doctrine that we are introduced to by this question. What does it mean the word justification. What does it mean to be just before God? Well, justification, it's a word that means that our guilt has been removed. Justification takes away guilt and makes a way for peace. It means that we have been accepted as righteous in God's sight. Yes, we did nothing to deserve it, nothing to earn it. By grace alone, our sins were imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then his righteousness was given unto us, given to our account. So we are no longer in debt. Our debt has been paid, and we are made heirs of the eternal kingdom of life. But how? How can a man be just before God? To gain a clearer understanding of this, let's look at a Bible example, Onesimus. Onesimus is, we read about him in the book of Acts, or sorry, the book of Philemon. And Philemon, we learn that Onesimus was a slave. A slave who ran away from his master. And many of the people say that he had also not only ran away from his master, but he also stole money. And now he's in Rome somehow, we don't know how, but he ended up in Rome, and he must have done something wrong. He wasn't spotless. He ended up in prison in Rome. And in the prison, he met Paul. And Paul had done no wrong. Paul was suffering in prison because of his faith. But the wonderful thing, Onesimus got saved in the prison. He got born again in the prison. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He found himself forgiven and accepted. And now Paul speaks to him and says, Onesimus, I know your ex-boss. I know Philemon. You must go back to him. And he is somewhat afraid, because how will he be received? What will be the outcome? And he says, don't worry, Onesimus, I will write a letter. And this provides a wonderful picture of what justification is. And we can read it at home in Philemon chapter 1. Well, it only has one chapter, verses 15 to 19. Paul wrote now about Onesimus, and he said, receive him as you would receive me. Receive him as you'd receive me. Justification. We are received by the Heavenly Father as if we had done no wrong. And Paul had done no wrong to Philemon. And he's asking Philemon to receive him as though it's Paul coming himself. And he said, if he has wronged you, or if he owes you anything, just put it to my account. Reckon it to me. And this illustrates what God has done for us in our salvation, in our justification. Paul said, if he's wronged me, anything that he owes, reckon it to me. And we see that Jesus Christ on the cross would say to his Father, Father, if these owe anything, if they have wronged you in any way, put it to my account. Reckon it to me. Let me pay the price. This is what justification is. Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. For he himself is our peace. He has made both one. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. We were enemies, and now we are at peace. We had wronged God, like Onesimus had wronged Philemon. And He had stolen and he had run away. Only we had done much worse. We had not wronged a man. We had wronged the living God. We had wronged him by our lawless deeds, by all that we had done wrong. And the scripture says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. This is what the Lord did on the cross for us. He took our sin. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered, whose sin has been paid for. He who has been justified, who has been pardoned. He took our punishment. All our sin was put upon Christ, put to his account, and his righteousness was then imputed to our account. We have acceptance now with God. The very same acceptance that Christ would have before God. Now, this answers a question. How can a just God forgive an unjust person like me? When I've done so much wrong, I heard a story of a young man who had a friend who had been he'd lived a bad life. He was a sinner. And now the friend, the old man, was sick in hospital. And the young man went to visit him. And he said to him, "You don't have long. Let me read some scripture to you. Is there anything that I can do for you?" And eventually the old man broke down and he said to him, "I must confess," he said, "I do want to be saved. I do want my sins forgiven. They are so many. I'm so ashamed of my life. But I'm not sure that God can forgive me. I'm not sure that he would have to do something so wrong to pardon me." And the young man was able to explain to him, "No, God wouldn't have to do anything wrong to forgive you. He took your sins upon himself. He died for your sins on the cross. And he has paid the price for your sins to be forgiven." Suddenly he understood what it means to be justified. My sin, I have received a pardon, a royal pardon. I am forgiven. Jesus has paid. I don't owe that debt anymore. And the story goes on that the old man was born again and passed away some short time after that. Isn't that a wonderful picture of what it means to be justified? The Lord Jesus Christ didn't just say, "Oh, because of my great mercy and my compassion, I forgive you." He didn't just forgive us. He righteously forgives us. He pays the price for our sin. And that's a great cost. It cost us nothing, but it cost God the blood of his one and only begotten Son. Oh, the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. When we read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, it's to the praise and it's to the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Christ's death on the cross has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus paid the price for all of our sins on the cross. Therefore, he is just to forgive us. He's not doing anything wrong. He is justly forgiving the sinner. There's no question about it. Your sin has been paid for. His grace alone pardons our sin. Justification, we know this, and I'm sure you've heard this, just as if I had never sinned. J. justification is just as if you had never committed a sin. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his blood. Freely by his grace, I have peace with God. You see, we were at war with God. Our nature was against him. Before we were Christians, we were backbiters. We were haters of God. We were insolent. We were proud. We were braggers. We were inventors of evil things. We were disobedient to parents. But freely, by grace, he has saved us. When we were enemies, he reconciled us to God by the death of his Son. That's Romans 5 and verse 10. We have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. In other words, the war is over when we believe. Peace has been made. Peace has now come. There's no more condemnation. We have a peaceful frame of mind. Our guilt, the guilt that weighed us down, has been removed. Our sin is pardoned. I want to move on quickly. I want to focus upon 4 points. And I'll give you the 4 points, and then we will look at them very briefly. The principal privilege of a true Christian, he has peace with God. Number two, the fountain from which that privilege flows is he is justified. He is justified. And then number three, the rock from which the fountain springs is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock from which the fountain springs. And the hand which brings that privilege to us, the hand which brings salvation, the hand which makes it our very own, is faith. Faith is that hand. So let's look briefly at these 4 points. Each one of them could be a message on their own, but may the Holy Ghost help us to understand and grasp some truth of this that would bring further peace to our hearts. The chief privilege that a Christian has is peace. He has peace with God. It's been many years since the Apostle Paul wrote this. Just these 5 words in the book of Romans, we have peace with God. We are reconciled and we are saved by his life. Many great philosophers have lived and died over the years. Great men who didn't write anything. They wrote profound things, yes, but nothing as profound as this. None of them could say, as the apostle said, I have peace with God. We, in our modern age, you can go onto Google or AI and you Google, how can I have peace with God? And it does give a few variants, but it says the most common is through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Even AI knows that only by Jesus Christ we can have peace. And so, as has been said by many old writers throughout the ages, they're just not writing down their thoughts. They are writing down thoughts based upon the infallible, inspired Word of God. The thoughts all hinge around this theme: by grace, through faith, are you saved. And I was reading, this old writer was speaking about a clock. In those days, there were no digital clocks at all. There were wind-up clocks or those pendulum-type clocks. And there was one big wheel that turned. Click, 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 click. And that wheel turned all the other wheels in the clock. And eventually the two hands of the clock were turned by that one wheel. And the wheel that moves everything in the believer's life is the grace of God. The first wheel that sets all wheels in motion is the grace of God. In our lives, if we are seeking to be justified, the first wheel that sets the others moving is the love and favor of God. It is God's unmerited favor. That's what grace is. Well, actually, that's a good definition of grace, but grace is even more than unmerited favor, because you and I, we deserved the exact opposite of grace. We were sinners, and the wages of sin is death. We deserved death, but grace gives us the opposite of what we deserve. Grace gives us life. Grace gives us peace. Grace makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. We are justified by grace. And when the Apostle Paul, when he spoke about peace with God, he meant not only for himself, he meant for all who would believe. All who will believe in the gospel shall have peace. The peace with God, what is it? It's a calm sense of friendship. It's a sense of acceptance with the Lord. I was an enemy, but now I've been reconciled. He's my friend. He's my God. I have peace with him. I feel that there's no barrier of separation between me and my God. My holy maker, I'm not afraid of him anymore. I love him. I long to spend time with him. And this grace enables us to cry, Abba, Father, my Father. It's an everlasting covenant of peace. Now, let's move on to point number two. Let's look at the fountain from which this true peace is drawn. And it's the fountain of justification. It's not just an imaginary hope. It's not just a good feeling without reason for the foundation. The peace that we have is built upon solid ground. We have peace because we are justified. Without justification, it's impossible to have peace. Conscience and guilt would forbid it. Sin is a problem that must be taken away. Sin is a thing that weighs us down and makes us guilty. The heavy burden of guilt that weighs down upon us must be removed. Unpardoned sin is the one thing that kills peace instantly, murders peace. The true believer knows that true peace comes from being forgiven, knowing that their sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. They have been blotted out. Have yours been blotted out? Have yours been removed as far as the east from the west? Are you not sure? I'm not sure that mine are blotted out. Repent then that your sin may be blotted out. That your sin, that's in Acts, the book of Acts. Do you know that the scripture says, and I mentioned this some weeks ago in the gospel service, that our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. And there's such peace when we know that our sins are covered, that our sins are gone into the deepest part of the sea. And I was reading about the deepest part of the sea. It's a place called the Mariana Trench, and it's approximately 11 kilometers deep. Now, how deep is that? Well, Mount Kenya is 5,100 meters tall. So you could take two Mount Kenyas on top of each other and put them in the Marina Trench, and they would be hidden, disappeared, gone. And if your sins were so many that they were as high as the Mount Kenya, even two times as high as the Mount Kenya, well, if they were cast into the sea, you would see them no more. They would be gone forever. Oh, this is what justification does. This is what the Father sees no spot upon you. He sees no wrong upon you. He counts you as innocent. This is what justification is. He clothes us with a perfect robe of righteousness, and he makes peace with us. This is such a tremendous truth that we should know. Now, the rock, point number three, the rock from which justification and the peace of God will flow. And we know that the rock is Christ. And we have to ask ourselves this question: have your sins been nailed to the cross? Have they been removed and taken from your soul? Now we read a scripture, Colossians 2 and verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He takes our sins out of the way. He nails them to the cross. Have our sins been accounted for by God in his presence? This is a very important question. This is a life and a death question. This is a question that we cannot be in doubt about. We must know, have my sins been atoned for? Have my sins been nailed to the cross? I must be sure about this. To think that I'm justified because of any other foundation, any other reason. Are you justified? Oh yes, I come to church, I'm justified. Well, coming to church cannot justify you. Why not? Because no church died for you. Only Jesus Christ died for you. And only Jesus Christ can take your sin away. And that is the foundation. We put our faith in Christ's merits, not our own merits. Only by faith can we be justified. Therefore, the scripture in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not justified because of anything, any goodness of our own. Only through the cross are we graciously justified. We are justified when we acknowledge that our lives are full of sin, full of dishonor. I owed a huge debt. I couldn't pay this debt. I owed 10,000 times 10,000 talents, and I couldn't pay it. But Christ died for me and paid my debt in full. This is justification. By faith in Jesus Christ, I'm justified. My sin is forgiven. This is the only way to obtain peace. Graciously justified, righteously justified, and fully justified. Fully. All the glory goes to God the Father. I want to just show you something, that it's the whole Godhead, the Trinity, that justifies us. Every part of the Trinity is involved. It is God that justifies. Romans 8:33. God the Son justifies. We see that in Acts 13 and verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified. By him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified. Acts 13:39. And then we have been justified by the Spirit of our God. By the Spirit of God, we have been justified. 1 Corinthians 6:11. The whole Trinity is involved in our justification. God is the rock from which justification flows. Point number four, the hand by which the privilege of peace is received. The means is faith. The hand is faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the one from whom it springs, and we, God's chosen children, are the ones who receive this grace. He who believes in him is not condemned. Oh, he who believes, that's how we receive, by faith, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18. We know that Bible verse. Believing is the way that by faith we are justified through grace. Now, I'm not saying that there'll be no repentance, no prayer, no holy living. These things always accompany a justified man or woman. But these things, prayer, church attendance, all works, do not purchase justification. Only Christ purchases justification. And only by faith in Christ can we be justified. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 4 and verse 5, Romans 3 and verse 28. Having this faith then, a man is at once completely and fully justified. Completely and fully justified. The very hour, the very moment he believes or she believes, he's considered and pardoned and reckoned entirely forgiven, entirely righteous. His justification is not a future privilege. It is received the moment they believe. And it's not obtained after a long struggle, after a long time of pain and begging. It's an immediate and it's a present possession. Justification doesn't come in degrees. You know, grace comes in degrees. Some people have more grace than others. But justification, you cannot say so-and-so is more justified than so-and-so. It's no people are more justified than others. The weakest believer that has repented and placed their faith in Jesus Christ is fully justified, fully forgiven, as well as the strongest believer. Justification is a fixed, permanent treasure. It's the gift that can never be lost. Oh, yes, the justified person may lose their first love. A justified person may wander from the path and stumble and fall. But God's favor is not just for a time. God said, he says that the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The one that has strayed, the justified person, may lose their love for a season, may lose God's favor for a time, but they will not lose their justification. The grace of God will bring them back. Bring them back home. Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe in him, you will have eternal life. Not saved one day, lost the next day. Saved one hour, lost the next hour. When you are truly born again, truly justified, it is eternal. It is forever and ever. Christ paid our debt in full. He paid for my sins. Justice is satisfied. My sin has been punished. I deserve death, for the wages of sin was death. But Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, died for my sin and for your sin. He didn't simply forgive us. He paid the price. He paid the price for me and for you. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 6, as I begin drawing to a close, let me read this verse to you and say one or two comments. This is the name whereby we shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. This is the name by which you shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. That is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu. You are the Lord's righteous. There's no other doctrine like this that is so beautiful, so comforting to the believer, so comforting to the sinner, full of grace. It's within reach of the worst sinner. It's within reach of ordinary people. Not only the rich, but the poorest of the land can come and receive this grace. His justice, his mercy, his holiness make salvation totally of the Lord. And we come to him without price, yet we remember the great cost that it cost him, a cost that was higher than anything that we could really imagine, the blood of the Father's only begotten Son. Peace and pardon purchased freely for us. Nothing else provides more joy, more comfort than this doctrine. Nothing makes us feel more safe than knowing that our sins are completely forgiven. We have peace with God. I close with this question. This question that Job asked. And the question modified is, do you have peace with God? Have your sins been atoned for? Are you justified? Do you have rest for your soul? Have you got peace with God? Oh, yes, yes, I know. I know peace is found with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found that peace with the Lord Jesus Christ? I know that this peace is excellent. I know that this peace is to be treasured. But do you treasure it? Have you found it? Have your sins been thrown into the depths of the sea? I read this last night. I'll try to paraphrase it. Some people will go home not justified, go home not having asked God to forgive their sins. And this writer said, let them ask themselves a simple question. Am I so bad that I would refuse this grace of Christ dying on the cross, taking my sin, paying the price for my sin? Am I so bad that I don't want him to forgive me, that I don't want him to save me? Oh, go home and think about this. Go home and kneel down in a private place and say, oh Lord, I want to be justified by faith. I stretch out the hand of faith. I believe you died for me. I receive what you have done for me. Amen and amen.